We're going to consider the gospel for this Trinity Sunday, which is John 3, again, very short, 16 to 18, just three verses, but very powerful. But before I do, I want to look for a few moments at how the Trinity is described in the New Testament, particularly Paul. Though I could use John, the Son will ask the Father, and he will give you another paraclete. And there you have Jesus, the Father, and the Parakletos. Huh? Another paraclete. Why other? Because in first letter of John, chapter 2, Jesus is called a paraclete. And I think we did some of that when we were doing Pentecost. We will. Okay. Now, I just want to read some of these for you. They're all from the Pauline letters. They needn't have been, but okay. You see, it says here, this is Ephesians 2, 14 to 18. I'm only reading the latter part of it, though. He reconciled us in one body to God through the cross by killing the enmity between Jew and Greek. And coming, he preached peace to us who are far and who are close. Now, listen to this. Through him, that's Christ, through him we have access, both of us, Jew and Gentile, see, in one spirit to the Father. You hear it? In him, Jesus, we have access in one spirit to the Father. In other words, by experience, we know how the Trinity is at work. I'll give you another one now. There are varieties of charismata, but one spirit. There are varieties of services, diakonia, but one Lord. There are varieties of works and one God who is working all in all. Did you hear the Trinity? Did you hear it? Variety of gifts, one spirit. Variety of energy, of works, one Lord, spirit, Lord, and God. That's the usual Pauline way of describing Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Let me give you, maybe just one more. This is from 1 Corinthians. For however many are the promises of God, their yes is in him, in Jesus. Okay? Therefore, the amen from us also goes through God, through Jesus, to God for glory. But the one who gives us security with you in Christ and who has anointed us is God, who has put his seal upon us and given the Spirit in our hearts as the first installment. So security in Christ comes from God the Father, and the seal is the Spirit. Now that's a seal, that's a down payment. Out of own is one word, and we have the other word in this text down payment. What a beautiful idea, huh? How do you know you're on the way to heaven? Because I have the Holy Spirit. And then somebody once asked Mark the Hermit, well, how do you know you have the Holy Spirit? He said, how does a woman know she's pregnant? She feels the life within her. That's how we know we have the Holy Spirit. You see? And so, the security comes from Christ, the anointing comes from the Father, and the seal comes from the Spirit. There are many more, but I was just trying to show you, this is the Trinitarian way of talking in the New Testament. We're not yet the technical words that bring clarity, but are not as powerful as the biblical words, like nature, person, and so forth. All right, that's enough of that. I want to move on now to the gospel, okay? Uh, This is a reflection in chapter 3. We've seen some of chapter 3 before, of John. You see, God loved the world in such a manner that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone believing in him may not perish, but have everlasting life. Now they could have taken, we're going to go on with this one, see, I, Jesus, will ask the Father, will send you another Paraclete. And again you see Trinity, right? In that one. Here, you see, God so loved, in such a manner did God love the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. Well, who's the only begotten Son? Isaac. Abraham gave Isaac his only begotten. The Father went one better. He gave his only begotten divine Son for us. That's how much God loved the world, okay? So that everyone believing in him, and this is the key. To believe means to yield to the evidence, the gift, the action of the Holy Spirit. There's plenty of things in us which would militate against yielding. But faith is that yielding to the truth, okay? And everyone who yields, who believes, you see, doesn't perish. Everybody knows this text, right? Because it's at most baseball games. Big sign, John 3:16. You see it all the time there? And the TV goes quickly around it, but there it is. So, see, not perish, but have everlasting life. God, you see, did not send his Son. Now we have the Father and the Son, right? Into the cosmos, into the world, that he would judge, condemn the world, but that the world be saved through him. Now, what are we seeing here? We're seeing the manifestation of who God really is. Ho Theos agapi estin. Okay, that means the Father is love, but that love is infinite, pure, stringless, total. And that's the Son. And the Son, imitating from all eternity with no gap of time, nothing. You know, we're describing a permanent reality. And we've got to use words that have time in them. We don't have any others. You see, remember, in heaven we might be brighter, but now we can't. So he begets, okay? That's agape, pure, pure agape. Self-gift. And that self-gift responds with a self-gift, and then we have the Spirit. You see? And so, see, God didn't send his Son to the world that he judge, condemn the world, but that the world be saved through him. What does that mean, saved? You know, safe, you know. What does it mean? That word, sozin, and the words that are linked to it, soz, the root, it means to be whole and entire, to be preserved whole and entire. So, for instance, we have this formula, this statement, I would probably say. Jesus says, your faith has saved you. Epistis sou, seso can say. Okay? What does that mean? Your faith healed you. That's a saving. Saving from disease, restoring an integrity. But that itself is only a sacrament of heaven, where you're so saved that your whole body is kept in existence by the direct gift of the eternal Trinitarian life itself. That's salvation. That's why when, as we did when we were doing Christmas, if you remember, and I quoted that text from Prairine, an inscription, where the birthday of the Sotiros, the Savior, Who's the emperor? Who's the savior there? It's the emperor. So what makes him a savior? He built good roads. He balanced the GNP. Is that all? What else can he do? But God can give you an eternal wholeness, an eternal life, kept alive by his own life. And that is soteria, you see? So that the world be saved through him. Can you imagine God's plan looking at us even after the fall? Disastrous. We're killing each other. We're lying to each other. We're committing adultery. We're doing everything wrong. And God decides to save us, restore us to normality. And then we have to wait for the full normality when our bodies are conformed to the body of Christ in heaven forever, as it says in Philippians. So you see, that the world might be saved. Again now, and this is one of the themes of Trinity Sunday, the believing one, Isafton, the one who believes in Jesus, is not condemned. Why? Because he is linked by the act of the Holy Spirit to which he has yielded. He's linked, he's joined to Jesus Christ, who is eternal. So we're eternal. Do we die? Yes, we die. I think I've told you this story before, but once I was burying a boy, a senior in high school. There were three of them in a car. They were taking a left, and a couple of guys drunk in a big SUV ran the light and hit him. One was injured badly, one was okay, and one died. So we're burying the one who died. Was the holiest of the bunch. There must have been 600 or 700 youth at his funeral. The church couldn't hold them all. And they all wanted to say something. I had to stop it after a while, we'd still be there. I said, but don't stop saying it. Just don't say it here because we've got to go on. As they lowered that coffin in the grave, into my spirit came such a conviction. I said, thank you, Earth, for giving this young man a home. But I want to remind you, he's not staying here. He's not staying here. That boy's body will rise, be transformed by the very life of Jesus Christ, and live forever. That's what Trinity Sunday is telling us. If you don't believe, you're already condemned because you don't believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So the choice is there. Now, there is a hint in another text. You see where it says, I thought I printed it out for you. Well, it doesn't make a difference. I know it. And this is the judgment. See, that light came into the world, and men preferred darkness to light. If you're preferring darkness to light in sin, when the light comes, you're not going to want it. That's the obstacle to faith. Let us adore the Blessed Trinity in full love, joy, and praise. Amen.